Let's have another word of prayer. Loving Father, I'm not too good with having eloquent prayers, so I'll make my request simple. I request that you send your holy angels to camp around us and to protect us. Father, help me to keep it together, because I know without you I can do nothing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is fighting against the most unscrupulous and insidious enemy for the control of men's minds. The earth is the announced arena. The battle will be fought here and finished here. Love and sin compete for lasting supremacy. Satan is the enemy, and Christ is the hero. And even though men seem stupefied and insensitive, oblivious to what's going on, concerned angels and beings from unfallen worlds move with excitement. We are told in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 4:9 that we are made a spectacle unto the world and angels and men. Men come onto the scene and play some role, minor or great. Centuries turn into millenniums. Countless millions and billions of people have come onto the scene and have passed on to the conflict, but the battle rages on. And one day soon, it will end. But before it does, every morally responsible man, woman, boy, and girl will have to decide where they stand in the conflict. The issues will be clear. The stakes will be high. There will be no place where someone can hide and not take part. For the Word of God says that he who is not with me is against me. There will be no spiritual Switzerland. There will not be a place where someone can hide off in the scene and then from a corner see and watch as the battle rages on. You will be on one side or on the other. If you have ever claimed to be a follower of Christ, you have, by that proclamation, become a target of the devil's insidious attacks. Satan despises you with a passion that cannot be described. He hates you with all that is within him. From 1,000 points and 1,000 ways, he comes at you, and his purpose is to ruin and to destroy. And we need a shelter today. And there is only one demon tamer in all the universe, our Lord Christ Jesus. Now we are told that the devil launches his attack. One of our church members who lived long ago by the name of Ellen White says that his first attack is against your morals. He wants you to commit sin, do something wrong. He wants you to shame yourself. He wants you to lose respect for yourself and for others. He wants to destroy your integrity and break down your morality. The devil lays a snare for each and every soul. That means that everyone here has been figured on. And he has laid a trap, a snare for every one of us. But the Lord speaks to us in encouragement and says, I was tempted in all points, and yet without sin. The Bible tells us that there is no sin taken you but such that is common. That means whatever your problem is, whatever you're going through, someone has already gone through it. Many people have gone through it. It's common. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. But with that temptation, will also provide a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. If you want to escape, there is a way made by God. The problem is, we sin because we like to. People like to make excuses for sin. Sometimes we like to blame it on our friends or our associates or our family. The problem is, we do wrong because we are unregenerate. We do wrong because we enjoy doing wrong. God makes a way out of every temptation. But the truth is, many of us crawl away from temptation hoping that it catches up. The devil's first attack is against our morals. He wants to make fools out of us. He wants us to humiliate the Lord by acting like animals. And if he fails to do this, he just might attack our bodies. The devil and his legions are unscrupulous. It doesn't bother them how much misery and pain they cause you, how much anguish. He would just love it today if he would get every one of us out on the highway and mangle us in some kind of accident. That's what they delight in. He would like for the roof of this whole church to come crashing down and kill every one of us. His kingdom would just laugh with joy and laughter if he can get that done today. But only by the grace of God and the protection of holy angels that we are spared from day to day. He will attack your bodies. That's what he did to Job. His purpose was to get Job to curse God. His purpose was to get Job to be discouraged, to cause him to turn his back on the Lord. Once Ellen White got sick, she began to swell up. Her whole face and her whole body was swelling up. She couldn't even talk. She was in bad shape. They thought she was going to die. But after much prayer, relief came. And when the relief came, Ellen White said that the Lord had shown her that all that the devil wanted her to do was to complain and murmur. Complain and murmur. That's all he wanted her to do. And she would have dishonored the Lord. The spirit of prophecy says that worry is a sin. Discouragement is a sin. And God has designed our minds should never take such a low level. When you walk around with your chin dragging the ground, and looking like your religion is a pain, other people will look at you and decide, well, if that's what the Seventh-day Adventist Christian faith does, I want no part of it. We dishonor the Lord. Why do we worry ourselves out of his loving arms? The devil's purpose through pain and suffering and sorrow is to destroy our faith and make you think that Jesus doesn't love you anymore. But Jesus says that I am a man of sorrow. I am acquainted with your grief. Jesus has promised that he will be with those who are brokenhearted. It is the devil's studied plan to bring everyone here to ruin. In other words, He doesn't go about his work haphazardly. The devil studies you. He does not bring the same temptation to every person. He makes a study of each individual. It is as though he's taking notes. He watches you carefully. He knows what your weaknesses are. And he tempts you on your weaknesses, certainly not on your strengths. That's the way he works. That's why the servant's Lord says, if God has delivered you from a terrible past, forget it and stop talking about it. If you keep talking about all the mistakes that you've made, the devil will get the idea that you're still dwelling in the past. And he'll come to you with some of your old weaknesses. That's the way he works. He studies you. He knows all about you. He knows how you feel. He even studies your facial expressions. He studies to ruin you. There are some points from the Bible in the spirit of prophecy that I would like to point out. Number one, he's presumptuous. He acts without authority, without permission. The devil believes he can get you. He doesn't care how well you're getting along this week. He believes that he can get you in an unguarded moment. He's just waiting till you make a mistake and he'll say, I got you. You might be serving the Lord for 50 years and on New Year's Day of the 51st day, the new year, he still believes he can get you. He never gives up. Neither does Christ. He even thought he could get Jesus. He waited till Christ was weakened by 40 days of fasting and praying. And then he comes with his temptations when Christ is at his weakest point. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. Tempting Christ on a point of appetite. But Jesus, not trusting in his human philosophy, not trusting in his own human power to match wits with the devil, being clothed in human flesh, went back to his own word, his own sacred word, and pulled out from the spirit of that word a fresh blade and just bury it in the philosophy of the devil. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You have to stay close to the word and not to logic, not to rationalizing, not to intellectualism and all these other things that have become God unto us. Stay close to the word if you will survive temptation. Oh, the devil says, you want to quote scripture. And believe me, the devil knows his Bible and quotes scripture all the time. He knows the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But he does not have what you have. And that's the ability, the key to open heaven through prayer. Some people think that certain things that they do or certain things that they say give them special pull or special priorities. Not so. Some people might say, well, I go to church every week. I even go to prayer meetings. The devil does too. There are some who say, well, I sing. I belong to the choir. Satan got started in a choir. He doesn't care what you do. He's presumptuous. So when the Lord quoted scripture, Satan decided to quote or misquote some of his own. So he took Christ to the pinnacle of the temple and misquoted Psalms 91. Go ahead and jump, for it is written that he will give angels charge over thee and keep you, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. The Lord once again turned to the Word of God. The devil can't stand the Word of God. The devil took Christ to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and all the glory with those kingdoms. You know, that's how he gets most of us. Satan then said to Jesus, "Look here. I know why you've come down. I know why you're here. You've come here to buy back or to redeem the earth which I stole from Adam. You've come to buy it back. I read Isaiah 53. In order for you to get it back, to buy it back, you have to be wounded. You have to die if you're going to buy it back. But it's going to cost you. But tell you what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. Watch the devil's deals. I'll make a deal with you. Bow down and worship me once. And I'll give it to you free of charge." You know, Satan had a right to make a deal. Even Christ called him the prince of this earth. He had a right. So he said to Christ, "Bow down and worship me. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give it to you. Just bow down and worship me once." Always it's just once. Take a drink, just once. Puff on that cigarette, just once. Park in a car, just once. And when we do it, he'll ride our backs and make slaves out of us. After Christ has dispatched the philosophy of the devil using the Word of God, on the third time, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, get out of my sight. When a man or a woman is willing to stand on the Word of God, and when a person finds his strength in his faith in that Word, you can come to a point, a place where you can order the devil to go away, and he goes, and angels will come and minister unto you. The point is, the devil is presumptuous. But God loves his people, and we are told from the spirit of prophecy that before he will let the devil have unfair advantage over you, that he would empty all of heaven of his angels and send him to the Valley View Church to look out after every one of you. Not only is he presumptuous, he's powerful. Ephesians 2:2 says, "He is the prince of the power of the air." And in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Your problem is not people. Sometimes we get so angry at people, we're ready to leave the church. That is a stupid and a foolish reason to leave God's house. I know people who are out of the church, and you ask them why, and they usually can point out to a person who was unkind to them, who said something that just rubbed them the wrong way, even gave them a dirty look. They were a setup. The devil had them in their pocket, in his pocket. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If someone spits on your face, if somebody starts giving you hand gestures out on the roadway, they are not your problem. If a spouse says something unkind to you, They are not your problem. That's why we can afford to pray for that person who despitefully uses you. Pray for them. But every soul that refuses to give his soul to God, his heart, is under the control of another power. That could be your spouse. That can be a family member, a friend. If they have not given their heart to God, they are serving the devil. There is no middle ground. Your enemies are wicked spirits. Satan and his demons will grin, will flatter, and will charm himself into your life and into your confidence, and then cut you down and walk away laughing. The Bible calls him several names. He calls him a serpent because he is cunning. He calls him a dragon because he is fierce. He calls him a lion because he is powerful and ravenous. In the great controversy, it is said that he delights in war, for it incites the worst passions in a person's soul, and then sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. He excites the nations one against another, so that he can divert the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of the Lord. A young man had been assigned as a lay pastor in a small church in Washington, D.C. He was planning a big rally to build up the church. His wife was expecting their second baby. When she delivered the baby, he went to go see her. And their brand new baby born that evening. Then he started home in his Volkswagen. And two fellas racing, incited by the devil, ran into him and killing him and their three-year-old son. Less than an hour after he had left his wife, friends had to return to the room and tell her that her husband and her son were dead. That's the way Satan is. Decide the fellow whose side we take. When we rebel in service, when we refuse to listen to God speak, and we harden our hearts, when an appeal is made and we refuse to respond, that's your buddy. He hates righteousness. He hates you. And we're told by inspiration he despises God's people. And we are told that he hates God's ministers. Worst of all, he hates God's Seventh-day Adventist ministers. Ellen White says that the Seventh-day Adventist minister is his prime target. Prime means number one. Let us pray for our ministers throughout the land. Every moment he seeks your life. Did you know that there are 1,440 minutes in a day? There are 43,200 minutes in a month. There are 518,400 minutes in a year. Now I'm 50 years old. So that means that I've been alive for 25,920,000 seconds, minutes. Isn't that impressive? And every one of those minutes of your life, the devil has been wanting to destroy you. But that isn't what inspiration says. It doesn't say every minute. It says every moment. Some have suggested that a moment can be measured in terms of a startled reflex. The Bible says when Jesus comes, the saints will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That doesn't mean a winking of an eye. It takes time to do that. But the twinkling of an eye is the natural involuntary blinking of the eye to lubricate the eyeball. It happens so fast, it doesn't even cut your vision. In just a fraction of a second, it happens. So if your life was chopped up in intervals like this, every time one of those intervals passes, the devil has you in mind and desires to put you to death. That means every time your heart beats, it's beating grace, grace, grace. And we don't even take a minute and thank him before we go to bed. We walk around town as if though we were in charge, as if we were the masters of our own fate. Only by the grace of God. Because holy angels encamp around us, we are alive tonight, today. Some of us rebellious and callous and indifferent, but we are alive through grace. We owe God, whether you want to thank him or not. The demons and their twisted, ruthless master are deceptive. We need to remember or be reminded what deception is. If the devil offered you raw sin, who would take it? Who would be deceived? But deception is when you take evil and co-mingle it with good so that evil looks good. And when you don't have enough energy or concern to check for yourselves, but rather get your religion from paperbacks, from popular theologians, not even of a denomination that you can find at the ABCs, you are being set up. And you will be deceived. For there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There are always people in the house of God who are willing to say, and if they don't say it, they're thinking it, I don't see anything wrong with taking a drink in moderation. I don't see anything wrong with eating anything I want. I see absolutely nothing wrong with going to the restaurant right after church. I'd like to read you something from 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. Can't see it? Don't brag. Pray. Maybe there's a spiritual problem when you can't see what the Word of God has clearly expressed. Let me read to you an apocalyptic scene here from Revelation 12, verse 12. Revelation 12, verse 12 here.
Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, that ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows he has but a short time. I remember telling myself, I want to have fun now, I'll do right later. The devil has convinced many, you have time. But of himself, he knows he has but a short time. The devil has come down unto you. He was cast out of heaven, and his angels were cast out with him. And the earth is literally crawling with superhuman spirit demons, creatures of darkness. And one objective and one goal is to destroy you. Testimonies to ministers. We are told that the devil looks over the minister's shoulders when he's preparing his sermons. That's why we must always pray. Why are we spending time criticizing? Pray for our ministers. He's looking over the shoulders to see what they're going to be preaching about. Then the devil decides, well, such a certain person should not hear that. So let's see what we can do so they can stop coming to church. And even if they do come to church, I'll get one of my helpers to sit by them and they can chat away and they'll miss out. Oh, I know. Why don't we get one of those people who refuse to turn their phones off, and at the precise moment it'll go off and they'll be distracted. Oh, I get it. Why don't we make that baby cry, and maybe the parent will decide that they're in full control and they won't take them out, and the other people will just be distracted and they'll miss out. I'd like to read you one more thing before I close. From the book of Selected Messages. If you want to read a good book, Selected Messages, first volume here, book one. If you don't have it in your home, just down the hallway, straight, turn a left, and there's a library and you can find it. The banner of the ruler of the synagogue of Satan was lifted high, and error apparently marched in triumph, and the reformers, through the grace given them of God, waged a successful warfare against the host of darkness. Events in the history of the reformers have been presented before me. I know that the Lord Jesus and his angels have, with intense interest, watched the battle against the power of Satan, who combined his host with evil men for the purpose of extinguishing the divine light, the fire of God's kingdom. They suffered for Christ's sake, scorn, derision, and the hatred of men who knew not God. They were maligned and persecuted even unto death because they would not renounce their faith. As it was then, so shall it be now. Evil men will turn against you, try to renounce your faith. How will I stand? I'm weak. We're all weak. But when you decide that you're weak, it is when he is strong. How are we going to be victorious? Certainly not by our power. Certainly not by our strength. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we gain victory. Nothing in us, but all in him. I thank my Lord Master. As the days grow on, I grow more in love with him. As I see more of myself, I cannot help but turn to Christ. I know who I am. And in me there is no good. What has drawn me close to him is his intense love for me. The fact for 50 years, he has never given up. Satan might not give up to destroy you, But our God is more powerful than any spirit. And God will never give up on you. Let us not give up on Him. Today's closing hymn is on page 474.
Let's stand.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Precious name.
Precious name.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs our tongues employ.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven crown Him when our journey is complete.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Our most loving Father, thank You, Lord. Maybe people don't understand, but this was actually a message of love. You love us so much that sometimes You have to maybe lean on us a little heavy. But let us understand it is always with love and compassion. The same way Jesus talked to the people. Sometimes He was a little rough. But I know He always had tears in His eyes. Because He loved the people so. He loved them back then. He loves us now. And I know You love us so much, Lord, that You sacrificed Your Son who You loved so much. What a testimony and a testament of Your love for us. I know, Lord, that You want to come quickly. I also know that You wait, Lord, because there's many more that will come. You know their hearts. You know where they're at. Help them, Lord, so that we can all be ready to meet Jesus in the clouds. And not be afraid. Be with every soul here, Lord, as they leave the sanctuary, as they go home and go about their business. Some will go to school, and some will go to work, some will stay home. Lord, watch over them. Watch over our families who are not with us. Watch over our children who have left us. We know You love them so much.
take care of them, bring them back. We pray that next Sabbath, people will come back and listen to the next message you have for them. But I ask you, Lord, how many more messages do we have to hear until you come in the clouds of glory? Until then, we wait patiently with our eyes fixed on you, not turning to the left or to the right. Only on you is our hope. So we pray these things in the name of your Son and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.